As we've said, the uprising in Egypt has been fueled by new media, particularly Facebook and Twitter, but also by old media. And the government of President Hosni Mubarak has attempted to clamp down on both, shutting down internet access as the protests began, then beginning a concerted effort this week to make sure that images, video, even the sounds of dissent in Egypt don't reach an international audience. NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik joins us from our bureau in New York. He's been monitoring events from there. And David, it seems like we're learning more with each day about what the government in Egypt's been doing to try to clamp down on information coming out of that country.
That's right. Clamp down and control it. You may remember, of course, the Egyptian government astonishingly shut down the internet more or less to Egypt and shut down cellular communications there. Those were restored after international outcry. But more recently, it's done some other things as well. We learned just in the last day or two that, according to the mobile phone company Vodafone, the government forced the company to send out text messages telling pro-Mubarak crowds to assemble, but didn't say those messages were coming from the government. The Egyptian government also cut out Al Jazeera's ability to transmit live via a major Middle Eastern satellite, which happens to be based in Egypt. In addition, mobs sympathetic to President Mubarak have been targeting journalists quite explicitly. Fox News staffers were beaten severely, our own driver badly beaten this week. ABC News staffers were threatened with beheadings. And according to journalistic reports, some security forces have been taking foreign journalists into custody. Take as an example CBS's Lara Logan, who was released earlier today. Several human rights workers, too, who were also taking stock of what was happening there, were taken into custody for some time.
And yet we're still seeing some of these images. The tweets somehow are still getting through. Bloggers are still getting their message out. What effect has all this had on the coverage that we see and hear?
Well, conventional journalists have been quite stymied. They haven't been able to offer broadcast quality video happening live from the scene itself. They've been taking to using more mobile technology, using camera phones or very small video recorders. Some of the major anchors have headed back to the States. Anderson Cooper has stuck around. We, of course, have many reporters there. A lot of producers are there for the networks. But they've been forced to rely on locals and Arab journalists as well to try to fit in on the crowds, some of which have been quite hostile to their presence.
How have people tried to get around these restrictions? I mean, I noted that we're still seeing some of the tweets that are coming out, and bloggers are still somehow getting messages out. We talked to someone earlier this week who said he faxed some information to friends in London, and then they blogged for him.
You're seeing all kinds of approaches to get around the restrictions. People are helping use falsified internet protocol addresses. The people at Google, I spoke to a few officials earlier this week, they had purchased a company recently that allowed people to telephone in short statements and allow those then to be tweeted to the world at large. There are sort of workarounds that are allowing them to take advantage of technologies new and old.
What are the lessons in this for people who cover the news and for also those who might try to suppress it?
Well, clearly, the battle to control information was seen as a vital point on both sides, both the protesters who welcomed the journalists in to show that they were demonstrating peacefully and people sympathetic to President Mubarak retaining power, trying to prevent there being people to pay witness to what happened. I think it's worth noting that although some of the skirmishes have been bloody, there have been reports of some deaths and a lot of injuries, this could have been far, far bloodier had people not been there to pay witness, which, after all, is the role that journalists assign to themselves.
Mm-hmm. We're watching. We're chronicling this.
Exactly so.
David Folkenflik, always good to talk to you. Thank you very much.
You bet.
That's NPR's media correspondent, David Folkenflik.
This is NPR News.